Back to SIW Radio from SecurityInfoWatch.com. This is episode 19 of our podcast series. Hard to believe it's been that many episodes already. We have a new program today. We're going to be doing some partnerships with, our sister magazine, Security Dealer and Integrator. That was formerly known as simply a Security Dealer. With Deb O'Mara, who's the editor over there, we have pulled together an Integrators Roundtable. And what these are going to be are monthly, basically, chats with some dealers and integrators about what's happening in the industry. We're going to hit on topics from growth to technology and everything in between. So this month we brought in four folks. We got Richard Penny from Viscom Systems up in Watertown, Mass, serving the New England market. We have John Crumey, President and CEO of Camdex. Of course, they've got locations in Kansas City and St. Louis. Also with us, Paul Owen, ADS Security, serving 12 states. They're based in Nashville, got quite a few customers. Alan Kruglak's also with us of Genesis Security Systems there in Washington, D.C. And all these guys, of course, have lots of experience in their respective markets, and they're doing a variety of things from fire systems to alarm systems, video surveillance, access control, and a whole lot more. We're going to get into some neat things today, everything from what the 2008 commercial market looks like, what sort of technologies these guys like, what technologies they think are hot, a little bit on how the IP trend is affecting their business, and we're just going to really kind of get into some of the things affecting integrators in 2008. So with what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and start and let everyone introduce themselves, and then we're going to start dealing with some of these questions that are pressing for the integrators working in the security business today. Enjoy.
My name is Richard Penny. I'm the president of Viscom Systems, and we're a security integration firm out of Watertown, Mass. In New England area.
Okay. And our next participant is John, the pronunciation of your last name? John Crumey. And go ahead, John.
Yes, I'm John Crumey, president and CEO of Camdex Security Corporation, with offices in Kansas City and St. Louis, and also a member of the SecurityNet Corporation.
All right. And then we have Paul Owen, and Paul is with ADS in Nashville. Paul?
Yeah, Paul Owen, ADS Security, regional security provider, central station, currently in 12 states, roughly 60,000 customers, number 23 of the SP.
Okay. And then Alan Kruglak?
Yeah, I'm a principal in Genesis Security Systems. I used to own GIC Security Systems, which is one of the largest integration companies in the United States. I sold it in 95. I've written four books on how to grow companies. Genesis was founded in 2002, and our major market is the Washington, D.C. market, although we do work pretty much in every city in the country. And I'm also president of National Security Integrators, which is a national network of software house integration companies.
All right, then let's just get started. With 2008 just around the corner, what are you feeling about the industry, the business, as far as how you feel the year will lay out?
So let's start with Richard. What do you think?
We have a pretty active market at the time. There looks like there's going to be quite a bit of business in the very near future. It's, as always, a very competitive market, but there seems to be enough market share for most of the major players. And as time goes on, obviously that will play out. There's certainly, we are feeling a little bit of the money's tightening, so to speak, in regards to the economy. But once now security kind of takes a lead role at times in some of these building processes, we're placed well.
Is there a particular vertical market that you're anticipating is going to be opening up additional business for you in 2008, or?
We see there a lot of activity in the government vertical market as well as educational right now. The educational in particular as a result of some of the recent events.
Okay. All right, John?
This is John Krumme. We feel that 2008 should be a pretty good year. There is some backlog that we'll start the new year with that'll carry over from 2007. We feel that the healthcare and the utility vertical will probably generate a fairly significant amount of work in our part of the country here in the Midwest. We also, as Richard indicated, feel that the government sector will continue to grow and is one that we need to be doing more pioneering in.
Paul, at ADS, in terms of 2008, has the residential market slowdown affected the commercial market at all? And are you starting to see any sort of weeping over into that space?
Yeah, well, what we're seeing right now, of course, there is a softening of the residential market, and a certain percentage of our business is derived from that. But we're extremely fortunate to live where we live, that the commercial market is extremely vibrant right now in the Middle Tennessee area. We've got a lot of new construction. For whatever reason, we're seeing a lot of corporate relocations and that type of activity right now coming into Nashville. So, I mean, we're expecting more of the same that we enjoyed the last few years in terms of commercial. But we may have some individual customers that may end up getting into some struggles. With the attraction of new business, we should be in pretty good shape.
Alan, are you also feeling the same? That it sounds like the market's pretty stable for right now in terms of commercial.
Well, I would say that our company's only 5 years old, and we've been experiencing 40% annual growth rates this year. I mean, we're going to reach about 15.5% by the end of this year. And we really take 1 year at a time. I would assume that next year we're going to see the market leveling off. We don't do any government work. So even though we're in Washington, D.C., because there's no margins in our part of the government world, and I think corporations, which are our primary focus, are probably going to be limiting their capital expansion. But I definitely see growth in healthcare areas, but our customers are still pretty large, and whether there's still going to be revenue streams because people are always upgrading their systems with the technology cycles becoming very short. So, I don't have any issues with our customer base at all.
So, are you serving some national?
Yeah, we have national customers. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of national work with Verizon and AARP and mm-hmm. SRA, and we're part of a national network that does national projects with EMC and Liberty Mutual and HSBC. So we do a lot of national. About 25% of our business is outside of the D.C. metro area.
One of the things that's been highly touted in our industry over the last couple of years is the whole network video movement. How's that affecting your businesses? I guess let's start again with Richard.
Yeah, that's having a pretty interesting impact in our business. We've gotten involved with a number of video IP solution providers, and it's taking that whole environment to the next level, where we've been talking about IP and the trends of the security and IP converging, and we are really at this time really starting to see that come to fruition. We're very excited about some of the products we have on board now. They're a true IP video solution. They're like some of these GUIs that some of the video and access control manufacturers have been trying to put out, but at the next level. They're almost like they're on steroids. So it's really providing a nice tool for us to bring all that under a GUI that is very, very robust. It doesn't really care what IP edge equipment is out there, but it will allow them to truly integrate and you know, manipulate it in a fashion that, that serves them very well.
So Richard, I have to ask, whose system is that?
One of the products we're involved with, a system called, it's a company called Video Next, and it's a relatively new company. The gentleman that is the CEO of it is a gentleman by the name of Joe Costa, who's been in the business for a number of years. He's gone on through a couple of life cycles, manufacturing a purse, an integration firm, and now on to this company. So it's an exciting product, and there's a few others out there as well, but that's the one that comes to my mind the most.
How did you find out about this particular product?
I've had a relationship with that gentleman for quite some time. He approached us about it. We did become aware of it before we made the contact, but that's really kind of how it came about. There were some other products we were looking at as well, but this one has certainly met the needs of one of our larger customers right now, and they have a global presence, so they're looking for a solution that can bring video across, you know, the wide area network that they have deployed across the world. So at many times it's very challenging for an integrator to try to provide that solution for a customer and have it be effective.
Mm-hmm. And easy to use, I assume.
Yes, very, very user-friendly. It's releasing a second version now, and it's just got a lot of bells and whistles that the customers are just ecstatic over.
Alan, what are you guys? How's network video, IP video, affecting your business?
Well, this, it's really one of those great debates. 2008 is going to be the year of the IP video. This is what I see on IP video. I see these new projects that are coming out are driven by consultants, and the consultants are specifying IP video, not really fully understanding what they're doing, but they're specifying it anyway. The existing base, I just don't see the inherent need to push IP video until the megapixel solutions become more standardized. I mean, there's really no inherent reason to do that. The only reason I see going to an IP video, with the exception of maybe school environments because of the broad network layout, is for the resolution. And the megapixel cameras are going to really provide that solution. So we see the demand we see for IP video is, A, in new construction or new projects where it's being driven by consultants. And the demand is going to pick up in 2008 with the advent of megapixel cameras, which are going to add, you know, customers will pay more for because the quality of the product will be, you know, twice to three times as good.
That's a pretty interesting idea. I mean, and it's that the consultants are driving that. I guess the consultants have kind of been sold by the network video companies. You mentioned that maybe they don't understand the whole package and, you know, what it entails. What are some of the places where that kind of leaves off in the knowledge, you think?
Well, it's kind of, you know, it goes from consultant to consultants. What's happening is you get a lot of IT guys that are writing these specifications, but they don't really understand the security side of the business. You've got integration issues that the consultants really don't understand. So integration with access control and alarm call-up system. So it's not across the board. I just see it being pushed without every I being dotted and T being crossed, and the customer is getting involved in this. And plus, you're in the adapter stage of the market, so there's potential that even though you go, I mean, one of the worst things you want to do to your customer is provide an orphan product. You sell them a product, and 2 years down the road, it's out of business. So there's still instability in the marketplace overall.
Absolutely, there is. John, are you seeing the same thing?
Well, we've spent the last couple of years educating our customers on IP video products, and in 2007, we were successful in starting to roll out IP solutions on somewhat of a regular basis, particularly in the healthcare vertical. In the new construction side, as hospitals have added on and grown their campuses, if you will, with the onslaught of IT directors and their personnel being involved, they have certainly picked up on the fact that providing a network drop and assigning an IP address to allow those cameras to communicate is an efficient way for them to generate a camera system and grow it. So they've helped to grow that side of the business, if you will, and to better educate facilities managers and securities managers in their own environments as to what can be done. On speaking and going back to the consultant side, one of the things that we saw that's been somewhat of an issue is the consultants hadn't really considered some of the latency issues, with pan-tilt Zooms, IP-based pan-tilt Zooms, and some of the problems that we've seen or experienced with picture quality and that kind of thing when you're using pan-tilt Zooms versus fixed cameras. And we're hopeful that that's going to improve upon itself. The manufacturers have even, some of them have addressed that to where we're seeing improvement in that area also.
And I guess right now we're seeing a lot of, upgrades in terms of switches, right? Going to gigabit switches and routers and so forth, which maybe will improve some of the latency issues that I guess certainly were out there. Paul, are your customers ready for it this time?
I think the customers are starting to show some starting to show some interest in it. I think from our standpoint, as we do. Primary business, I guess, is our central station. We're more interested in it from a remote monitoring standpoint, just another way to promote recurring revenue. So that's kind of where we are right now. We're in the process of laying out our new software hardware solution on both the accounting and the central station side, so we're kind of at a catch-as-catch-can right this minute. But long-term, those capabilities are being built into the system. And at some point, I do anticipate we'll be doing remote video verification.
Well, I understand with regards, Paul, with regards to the central station, that there might be some issues with regards to monitoring IP signals. Is that something that I guess that has to be all figured into the equation then, especially if you're operating a central station?
That's pretty much what we're looking at now. We've looked at a lot of individual solutions. We've done limited tests out in the field and trying to figure out exactly what we'd like best. But, I think in the long run, quite candidly, we see this, for us anyway, again, as a security installing dealer, we really see the necessity of it coming more from having to combat some of the false alarm ordinances that are being implemented across the country right now.
And they are coming on quickly, it seems like.
I just think the IP video is very marketable.
That's where our emphasis has been, that the video verification, that you're either going to end up with some kind of physical response, or you're going to need some kind of video response in order to verify that the events and in certain parts of the country it's become a major issue. We're just trying to be a little more proactive. It hasn't hit in our part of the country yet, but there's a certain inevitability about it.
Yeah, this is Alan. I just think that it's going to be very markets. Certain markets are more open to these product lines. I think new projects are one criteria, and I think some hospitals and definitely school environments are open to it, but as a rule, I think as soon as you get network pipes open and you get more resolution and the megapixel cameras, that's going to change the market overnight, I think. Plus, they have to be able to effectively integrate seamlessly with these access control products.
And are you seeing that in any of the products coming out?
It's happening. It's happening. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's happening, but it's in the early stages, I think.
Okay.
Some products are better than others at doing it.
Yeah, and we don't necessarily want to get into who's bad, but I'd love to hear from you all, who do you think is good in the space? Maybe a vendor or two that you're kind of following and you like where they're headed.
Well, we certainly would indicate that the ONSSI product being used in conjunction with Sony is an IP solution that's shown some real promise, and we're kind of high on that product and the quality that we've seen from it.
Yeah, this is Richard Penny. We've been seeing some nice products being rolled out by Verint, which is the old Laronix group. And then as probably all the gentlemen on the conference call with me would recognize Access Video. It's got some pretty good IP-based camera solutions.
Anyone else want to weigh in on what they like?
Well, I don't know what to like. We're putting a big Verint system in. I hope it works. So, but I'm pretty confident it will. But, you know, that's our first big system that we're putting in. So
that's the next TiVa product?
Yeah. So we're integrating it with CapLogic. So
sure.
I'm just hoping that I'm pretty sure it will work.
Well, we'd sure like to hear about that later on.
Well, I'll let you know if it doesn't.
we'd like to hear if it does. Yeah.
I'm going to let everybody know if it doesn't.
Oh, well, that's true, yeah.
Do you guys is it a lot of fun to get in there and get your, you know, sort of your fingers and kilobytes dirty with new technology? Is it an enjoyable thing for you guys?
No.
Not at all.
No.
It's only enjoyable when you have the IT director on board.
No, it's not good because, you know, a manufacturer only tells you 85% of what they want you to know. It's the other 15% you find in the field, like latency issues and this issue and that issue. And why would you want to be, you know, cutting your teeth on something brand new? But in this case, this is the way we had to go to win this project. And I believe that, you know, we did our due diligence on the product. It was the only IP product that integrated with Software House, which is our primary access control product line. So we didn't really have a lot of choice in the matter. And my due diligence in talking to several companies said the product's good, and I know the guys. So, you know, I got my fingers crossed. But it's basically a highly restricted, a highly controlled risk.
Okay.
Which brings us to another question, and that is, how do you go about getting that IT expertise in your company? Do you hire? I talked to one integrator who said that he hires some of these young people out of school who are, you know, real IT savvy, and then he teaches them like the alarm side of the business. But so how do you go about getting that expertise?
Well, this is John Crumey. We've certainly made a major investment, as I'm sure many companies have, in that side of our business. But it's just ongoing training to keep all of our people, not only our field technicians and our project managers, but our salespeople have to be knowledgeable and be able to communicate effectively with IT directors in our end-user customer environments. So we have done some of both. But primarily, we've taken people that have come up through our ranks and have invested in them to become Microsoft MCSE certified, those kinds of things, to where we can compete and be credible with our customers and their IT directors. Because that's been the number one thing. Securities directors, as far as we're concerned, in some cases, are afraid to approach their own IT directors because they're not up to speed on what IT expectations are and how equipment communicates over their own networks. So we've kind of helped and tried to help them, security folks, come up to speed so that they are comfortable when they're communicating with their own IT folks.
So as an additional question to that, John, Jeff, is it harder, are you having a harder time training the technicians and support staff, or is it harder to get the sales crew up to speed in terms of IT knowledge, being able to talk with the, you know, the IT folks at the business you're pitching?
It's probably been more difficult, Jeff, for us on the sales side because our technical guys are, that's their niche. They've kind of come, they're all the age range, the census in that group, those are all young guys in their late 20s and 30s. And obviously we have guys older, but the average age is lower. That's kind of what they've grown up. So they're very comfortable and capable of jumping right into it. We've struggled with making sure our sales guys and ladies are knowledgeable and truly have the capability to communicate effectively.
I'll concur with John. This is Alan. We don't it's better to, most of the guys, we got a lot of young guys in our company, technicians, and they, these guys are very IT literate. I mean, just incredibly IT literate. It's much more advantageous for us to help them reach those skills than to bring in outsiders who don't know the security industry. And I would say getting them is more difficult than sales guys, because all the sales guys we have are under 35, and they know this like the back of their hand. It's unbelievable how these guys function. Much different than, you know, my comprehension levels don't even come close to what these guys do.
Are any of you also installing, you know, working as sort of an IT value-added reseller of VAR and installing corporate networks, or are you coming in after that stage?
It's Richard Penny. We actually provide both, you know, kind of a well-rounded service. We'll build a network for a customer if they really don't have an infrastructure in place. We've done that in a number of large facilities. Because many times when you get there, it's maybe a corporate environment where the IT people push back very quickly. They really don't want your systems on their network because of, you know, depending on what it is, how mission critical it is. So we provide those services. Other times we are providing IP solutions. We have a tel data group as well, so IP phone solutions that will then bleed into system solutions. So It's kind of a fluid process. It really kind of determined by what the customers need. It's basically customer-driven requirements.
This is John Crumey. It's not our niche business. We're not a network VAR. However, in 2006, we did take on that responsibility and that scope of work for a large project where we created the backbone for our equipment to communicate across a campus of buildings, and with some issues and with some success. I'm not sure it was the most intelligent thing that we ever did, but we took it in order to secure the security project, and it worked out okay, but we were certainly stepping out of our box and had a lot to learn when we were doing that. But we felt the downstream revenue potential was significant, And that was the key to us winning the job and like I say, recognizing what's coming in coming years.
So we talked a bit about, you know, network video and, you know, what that means as far as impacting your company there. What's changing in terms of access control and what it means for your businesses? I guess some of the drivers seem to be happening in that area, certainly the smart card technology, and then, you know, I've even been hearing about IP-based, you know, door access control, which is a whole new beast entirely. Let's start from there. Anyone want to kind of share their thoughts on, you know, how the changes in access control are affecting your business?
Well, this is Richard. There's no question that the IP environment is certainly had a tremendous impact on access control and that whole market. It's been an ongoing process for some time. It seems to be somewhat of a road race at times between these various manufacturers. We have seen recently, as all of you probably have, the new web-based products, and those fit very well in smaller customers that don't want to invest in the infrastructure that requires PCs to run those systems. So it's kind of, I consider it at times of a foot race, but it's finally gotten to the point where when we go in and sell access control systems, we pretty much request that the IT group be involved with that, because days of what I call legacy designers seem to be coming to somewhat of a closure, and pretty much saying everything off an IP drop somewhere along the line as we go. If it's not with clients, it's with control equipment. So certainly having a tremendous impact on that part of the business.
Alan, are legacy systems starting to phase out in access control in your business, or what's your market like on that?
I would say that there's a lot of talk about IP readers, and this is the next train that's coming, but it's coming sooner than the video train was coming. It's coming at a fast pace, and I see that these things will begin to take market, again sometime in 2008, mostly driven by consultants. You'll see IP readers take the market. We have deployed smart card systems, but most of the smart card systems are limited primarily to use for logical access or for biometrics where we deployed these for. I just don't see the market size, you know, unless you're dealing with the federal market overall or some of these large, you know, transit or state systems. I just don't see it. But I think I don't see any change in the legacy systems we were having out there. Nothing is going to change, at least in our system architecture, with the exception of these IP reader solutions, which will be coming out, beginning to enter the market in more of a mainstream sometime toward the middle of the year.
It came to market very quickly.
It's coming quicker. It's coming much quicker than video will.
Good thing or bad thing?
I don't know. We'll see. It depends if we can make any money at it. You know, if we make money at it, then it's a good thing. If we don't, then the problem is that the IT companies will get involved in it and think, oh, this is a no-brainer. I can do this, and they realize that they can't live on 2% gross margins. So I don't know. It's a good thing.
Yeah,
I think it's a good thing.
This is John Krumme. Alan, do you think it's coming faster because the bandwidth requirements on access readers is so much less than what video has been? Is that what you think might be?
No, it's coming faster because HID, the behemoth, is pushing it, and they're going to drive it, and they are going to drive it big. That's why I think it's going to happen on there, not because of bandwidth. Well, bandwidth helps, but, I mean, HID is coming out with intelligent frames, and they are going to drive that process just like they've driven everything else in the access control business.
What about with regards to IP intercoms? I've been hearing a little bit more about that, too.
I see them in the market. We've deployed some IP intercoms, and I can tell you that they are not inexpensive.
Okay.
We've had to. For certain applications, we've had no choice. But they're not inexpensive, and, you know, but only when you have to. You know, when you're in a remote location, it makes sense to do it. I find sometimes on these, intercoms that these telephone intercoms that interfaces with people's PBXs are less expensive, don't require any programming, and so it's easier to maintain. And, you know, anytime you put something on an IP network, it's always a potential for downtime and maintenance issues. We just don't find that with these telephone intercoms like Viking Electronic makes.
Again, it goes back to let the system fit the application. Really, I think that has to be a bottom line there. Paul, you must be dealing with a lot of legacy access control systems out there. If there's a lot of access control out there, are you doing any upgrading right now of access control, particularly maybe for the healthcare or education? Or
no, I can't honestly say that we are right now. That most of our work right now is focused on fire systems. That seems to be where the predominant amount of new work that we're getting. We're kind of going through a resurgence here in the local market and starting to enforce NFPA 72 a little more closely.
Right.
So that's what we're focused.
Mm-hmm. So that's being code-driven. I hear word of maybe coming down the pike IP fire systems as well.
I haven't heard that one, but it wouldn't surprise me, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure some engineers are working on it already, but whether the code will allow it, I guess, would be the
that's difference. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, absolutely. Are all you guys doing fire systems?
No.
No.
No money in fire systems. No money in fire systems.
Well,
I'm just telling you, the only guys that make, I mean, there are some, it's an electrical contractor market. It's very tough to make money in that business. I mean, comparatively.
If you go head-to-head with an electrical, I agree with you 100%.
I mean, comparatively, you have a choice between putting an access control, integrated access control system and a fire alarm system. The margins are double on the former. So, you know, who wants to mess around with a fire alarm system?
Paul, what about the service and the maintenance, though? With
I don't know. I think there's more service in access control systems because people use them all the time and they break, and people are more willing to pay for service contracts.
Paul, how are you? Would you like to share any tips on, you know, how to make a go of doing fire systems?
No, it's extremely lucrative for us. I know the electricals are picking up a lot of the initial installs, and we really aren't interested in going after that that kind of bid work. The problem with so many of the electricals, though, after the system is installed, they're walking away from the systems, basically. We're more interested in coming in and doing inspections and doing monitoring and that type of thing. And right now, I guess the biggest thing going on right now is that state of Tennessee, in order to in licensing, you have to go through the, you know, we have to have our employees licensed, background check, and all that good stuff. There's a hole in the law, though, that allows electrical to install alarm systems without having to go through that process. We've got legislation pending this year that will close that loophole, which in effect will mean that if electricals do alarm systems, whether it be they fire or detection, burglar detection, CCTV, regardless of what it is, that they'll have to have their people background checked too. And if y'all worked with electricals before, you know there's very few electricals that stand up to background checks.
It seems only fair if you're, you know, pitching the same systems to the same customers, you might as well have a level playing field on that.
Yeah, the police department and the fire department are involved in it now. They didn't realize the loophole existed, and now they're providing a lot of the impetus to close the loophole.
So one of the things I wanted to ask you, we asked you a little bit about who you liked in terms of, you know, network video, whose, you know, products you're watching. And, you know, I realize all of you guys are into different areas, specialty areas. You know, obviously, you know, government's quite a bit different from, you know, maybe what a hospital may require. But I wanted to, we wanted to ask you all if you could think of one particular product that maybe you've started using the last couple of years. It was just a really whiz-bang thing that you said, I don't know why this wasn't on the market before, and it's making my job or my installer's jobs or, you know, our support jobs a lot easier. Is there anything like that out there that you're dealing with, Richard?
Whiz-bang product? I don't know if I could really think of one offhand. There are some nice changes that have been occurring over the years in regards to cable manufacturers, their ability to be flexible with cable designs, specific cable requirements, types like that, deliveries. That's not obviously a product that's very high-tech, but from an installation perspective and productivity perspective, it's very important. You know, we have been seeing some nice breakthroughs with various camera manufacturers as far as quality of those products, some products with the you know, the encoding going out to the edge devices, so to speak, things like that. And that's been a little bit of a interesting turn for the video aspect of it. So I can't think of one product in particular that stands apart. Maybe these other gentlemen might be able to share that with you, but not from my desk.
Yeah. Paul, how about in the fire field? Is there something, whether it's a, you know, power supply or a addressable component that you've really liked a lot?
Well, I guess the first thing that triggered the, you know, but this is actually more than a couple of years ago, is when we started using AES radio, and which is approved for primary or secondary signaling on fire, and that made quite a difference in our market. Coming forward a little bit further, though, Jim, it would be the wireless, improved wireless fire capability now that's out there. That's still starting to rock and roll, especially in trying to retro some of these older buildings that have been grandfathered for so long. That now coming back in and retroing with the wireless improved fire is proving to be interesting.
Sounds like a winner. John, anything like that affecting in your business in terms of product that you're really liking?
There's certainly the product that we've have been working on for a number of years now, actually probably 4 or 5 years, and that's true a seamless integration between access control and closed circuit television. Again, when we present that and get our customers to understand what that really means, we set ourselves apart from the competition. So again, that's not a new product or a new phenomenon, but it's one that's a strong product approach for us. And as was said earlier in the call, when we've moved into IP video type cameras, we're still struggling to find that true integration to access control because, as Alan said, it's happening, but it's been slow to happen. So that's one reason we've been somewhat slow in introduction of even the newest IP-type cameras. On the other side of that, video analytics are something that we think will has a future, but again, like other things, I think that may take a little bit longer, particularly in our part of the country, before we truly see that rolling out on a regular basis.
Alan, how about yourself?
Well, there's two things that have really helped us. The first thing that's helped us is the integration, the HR integration of these access control products, the middleware that's been used to allow automatic downloads between HR and LDAP systems. I think that's going to be a, you know, expertise in that area will give you, enable you to outmaneuver the competition on there. And, you know, it's one of those chicken and eggs things. You got to have it first before you get it, but it's hard to get it. The second thing I think has changed the market is the network alarm panels. You know, we do a lot of DoD contractor work, which requires UL 2050 certification, and DMP came out with a network module for their panels, which allows NIST encryption of systems, which, you know, essentially gives you a supervised line. So that has really been a tremendous boom to the commercial alarm monitoring market. I don't know if the gentleman from ADS would agree with that, but it has for us.
Paul, have you seen that technology?
I'm sorry, could you repeat the last part?
No, I just said the network alarm panels have been just incredible for our business because they provide a level of supervision and ease of use. And I'm not sure if you would have seen that in your business, but I definitely have seen it in our business.
Yeah, I think it. We're kind of going back and forth a little bit on it right now. I think the potential is tremendous. I can't honestly say it's had much impact yet, though.
But in these high security applications, it has a big impact.
Yeah, I would concur with that. We're involved with that DMP product line as well in a very large bank group, and it absolutely is leading-edge technology. It's certainly opening a lot of opportunities for us.
Well, that's our first program of our Integrators Roundtable podcasts that are part of SIW Radio from SecurityInfoWatch.com. Of course, I'm always your host, Jeff Cole, editor of SecurityInfoWatch.com. And we're going to be doing more of these in the future. We'll, of course, we're also doing our programs with Kevin Beaver, doing the IT basics for physical security pros. In fact, our next episode, episode 20, we're going to cover wireless security. So tune into that probably next week for a great program there. And look for more of these in the future. We'll be back in February again with another Integrators Roundtable from SecurityInfoWatch.com and Security Dealer and Integrator Magazine.